Welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Cale Buer. I'm the teaching pastor at the Delaware campus. And this past Sunday, we finished up our series we've been calling Everyday Faith. We've been working our way through the letter of James to the early church. And we're looking at James chapter 5, verse 15 today. But in order to understand that, I'm going to read verses 13 through 16. James says, "Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." James goes on to talk about Elijah in the Old Testament and how he prayed and it didn't rain for over 3 years in Israel. And then at his prayer, God answered that prayer and it rained again. And he's, you know, giving this illustration of praying in faith and how God moves through those prayers. The prayers of a righteous person are powerful and effective. What's interesting, or what's honestly kind of tough about this passage, and we're looking at verse 15 in particular, where it says, the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise them up, and if they have sinned, they will be forgiven. It just raises a lot of questions. It seems like James is almost saying, you know, if somebody is sick, you just call the elders of the church, what we would call pastors, right? I think the term pastor, elder, and overseer in the New Testament, I see those as being interchangeable. And so our pastors are our elders. And he says, you know, have them go and anoint the person with oil. Oil, there's lots of different suggestions or ideas on what does that represent? Was it medicinal in use or in purpose? I think I follow the line of thinking that says no. In the Old Testament, when somebody was anointed with oil, it was representative of God's Spirit and really them consecrating that person, setting them aside for special use by the Lord. When David was proclaimed king, he was anointed by Samuel. And so I think it's this idea of you are going to the sick person and showing special consideration and care for them and God's concern for them. And so you anoint them with oil and you pray for them. But, you know, the way James says it, it very much seems like, okay, if the elders pray in faith, that person will get well. But then he also says if they confess their sins, they're going to be forgiven. And I think that, you know, for most of us, we would say, yes, you confess your sins and you will be forgiven. But I'm assuming many of us have examples when we have prayed for someone and we have prayed that they would get well and be healed, and it did not happen. And you can have all these sorts of questions about, man, did we not have enough faith? Did that person didn't have enough faith? And I don't think that's what James is saying. I think you have to put what James is saying here in the context of the whole New Testament, where, you know, the Apostle Paul has a thorn in his side and he prays and asks God 3 times to take it from him. And God's answer is, my grace is sufficient for you, and my power is made perfect in weakness. And so I take this to mean that we want to be real careful. I don't think you look at someone and say, well, if you just had more faith, you know, God would do this. And in this, you know, verse here, it's not even the faith of the sick person. It's talking about the elders, you know, pastors. I do think that sometimes God can and does heal physically. I think sometimes God ordains that to happen. And when we pray in faith and believe the Lord and God moves in such a way that he says, I want you to pray for this person and they're healed, we praise God for that. And there are other times when we pray and people have prayed and they believe and they ask God and the answer is no to that physical healing, that it's my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. But I want to remind us that James's overarching point here is not, in this passage, is not specifically about healing the sick person. The overarching point is the power of prayer, that we are to pray for one another, that we're to believe God and trust him. And it's the power of prayer and confession in the context of Christian community, that we're to be praying for one another, we're to be confessing sins to one another, We're not to be living a life, one of our pastors called it a life of secrecy, but a life of openness with one another, and how God brings healing and forgiveness as there is confession of sin and intervening for one another. And then I would say also, just as a final thing, if we are looking to physical healing as the ultimate end-all be-all, I would just caution us. Again, can God heal? Does God heal? Like God, yes, He can and He does. He has that power. And I've joked with our congregation multiple times, our campus multiple times, beyond the age of 30, by about every metric we have, you're on the decline. Happy Tuesday. Beyond the age of 30, physically speaking, we tend to be in decline. We're not getting better at a whole lot of things physically speaking. And so if you're physically healed, but spiritually not healed, what good does it do to live healthfully until 85, but to die eternally? And so I think there's a reason that James ties those things together in a lot of ways, all through the passage where he's talking about, pray for physical healing, but then confess your sins to one another and you'll be saved or you'll be healed. And part of this is a reminder that the ultimate healing that needs to take place in our lives is spiritual. It is the raising up of a new man, a new woman, the old person dying, a new person coming to life in Christ and being spiritually restored, forgiven, and healed so that we have life with Jesus eternally. I want to encourage you to take some time to think, to pray, to trust God, and to take some time to reflect on what we've talked about here. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for who you are. As we pray, as we confess sin to one another, help us to do this in the context of Christian community, to be open with one another, to intervene and intercede for one another in prayer, and to pray in faith. God, not to sell you short on what you can and want to do, but also, Father, help us to remember that the ultimate healing, it's spiritual. Father, it's eternal. It's what you've done for us through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. God, we love you. We praise you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.